We're going to turn in the scriptures to Psalm 146, verse 5. And I'll read the one verse. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So today, as we continue to talk about practical meditations in the Christian life, I would like to talk to you about the idea of hope, and specifically Christian hope. You know, hope is something that is used in multiple ways, but we're speaking specifically of that hope that the scriptures put forth for us. James Angel James was a popular 19th century author, and he wrote a book on hope. And in the first chapter, he says, "Perhaps there is no passion so generally indulged as hope. Its subjects are men of all classes, from peasants to prince, for none are sunk so low as to be beneath its reach, nor are any elevated so high as to be above its influence. The savage and the sage, the wild of the woods, whose desires do not go beyond the catching of prey or the gratification of appetites, and the philosopher, whose expectations sublimely extend to some grand discovery in science, are all alike under the power of hope. Its beams add splendor to the palace and enliven the gloom of the cottage. The monarch has some more to desire, and the most forlorn child of poverty sometimes something yet to expect. It is thus a merciful provision in the construction of our nature, and so powerful as well as general in its influence that many indulge it for themselves when none else can for them." So sometimes when we think about practical aspects of the Christian life, or things that are practical, even in a general sense, sometimes hope is the last thing that people will hold on to. It's sort of a great equalizer among humanity, is that if we don't have something to hold on to as far as our hope, it can be something that causes damage. One writer said that hope is used in three different ways. The first is that it's a desire for something good in the future. Children might say, "I hope Dad gets home early so we can play." They desire to get him home early so they can experience the good thing. So hope also is the good thing in the future that we're desiring, where we'll say that, "I hope somebody arrives safely," or "I hope somebody comes to visit me soon." So it's something that we look forward to in hope. And then hope is also the reason why our hope might come to pass. You know, we talk about hope as something that we hope will happen, or a future good that we desire, something to be achieved. So hope is really something that is used in these three separate ways. It's something we look forward to in the future. It's something that we desire, and it's something that is reasonable, something that in our desires might be fulfilled. You know, real hope is reasonable hope. You know, you may hope for things that are unreasonable, and that's not really hope. It's not really within the definition of hope, but hope is something that is reasonable, it's something desirable, and it's something that we look forward to, and that's true for both the Christian and the non-Christian. So as we think about hope, and we're trying to narrow it more specifically towards Christian hope, we have to understand that hope is something that everyone has. Everyone hopes in something. Now, people might not say that they have hope, but everybody has something for which they're hoping, something they're looking forward to and that they're holding on to as something in their mind that's reasonable, that is coming in the future. You know, as Christians, we can say our hope is in the Lord, or we can say our hope is in the second coming, or our hope is in heaven. And those are things that are reasonable. They're things that are based on promise, and they're things that are in the future. And that is something that every person, not necessarily having to do with Christianity, but every person has some hope in their lives. And when they don't, it's quite destructive. You know, somebody might say, I hope that I can go to college, or I hope that, you know, I'm able to get a job that pays such and such amount of money, or I hope, and looking forward with reasonable desire. So everybody has something for which they hope. Another aspect of hope is hope is something that reveals where we're going. You know, the hopes and dreams that we have, if we're working towards those things, that is the direction with which we're going to be pushed. You know, if you have no expectation of going to college or no desire to go to college, you're probably not going to go to college, you know, because there's not a hope pushing you towards that desire. But if it's something that you have your heart set on, it's a future thing that we desire and it's reasonable, we work towards that, and we can have that as a hope. Now, hope is also something that is objective. There is an object of hope. So for the Christian life, Jesus Christ is the object of our hope. Jesus is the one that we look towards and that we work towards and that we seek and that we cling to. And all of that is hope that is Christ's word. So there's an object to hope. Hope also for, not for Christians, but for unbelievers. Well, I guess it could happen to Christians too, but primarily for unbelievers. Hope is something that can disappoint because the things for which people hope are often idols. You know, people put their hope in that which will not satisfy. We're in the afternoons or the evenings, we've been reading Isaiah in family worship. And Isaiah often contrasts that hope that the children of God have as they look ahead towards redemption, or as they look ahead towards the fulfillment of promise. And that's contrasted with the hopelessness of idolatry. The hopelessness of clinging on to something that is an empty promise alone. And that is something that we need to understand and remember as we think about Christian hope. Now, I want to tell you four ways or four things that Christian hope is not. And this is sort of, you know, we're honing the idea of Christian hope. We're trying to get it sharp as we think about it. And sometimes the idea of hope is something that is misunderstood even in the Christian life. So what Christian hope, specifically Christian hope, is not? So first off, Christian hope is not theological knowledge. Someone may have lots and lots of theological knowledge and still not have the hope of the gospel or hope that looks ahead to Jesus Christ. It is not something that we're able to rest in, or something that we are able to put our hope in, even though for the believer, it is something that we ought to grow in, as we've talked about before. But theological knowledge itself is not hope. Secondly, Christian hope is not, and this one might be even a little more offensive than the first, Christian hope is not Calvinism. Calvinism, or the idea that we are elected and save for all eternity. That is not even our hope. When you read writers that wrote specifically on things like election and reprobation and the ideas of what's called the Ordo Salutis or the order of salvation, all of those things push us to Jesus Christ. We're not resting in the hope of those things in themselves, but those things push us ahead to Christ. So thirdly, Christian hope is not just enjoying being with other Christians. You know, sometimes people put all of their hope or their rest in fellowship and don't look beyond the other people in the church for their hope, when we should, you know, even though we should love one another and we should have fellowship, and it's very, very important in the scale of the Christian life, Christian fellowship is not our lasting hope. We look beyond that. We look to Jesus. And fourthly, Christian hope is not just morality. You know, sometimes Christians will have this idea, and churches have fallen into this in the past, this idea that if only everybody in society could act right, then the Christian faith would be something that flourishes. Morality is not our hope. You know, it's great if people are moral, but our hope is beyond that. You know, we've heard it said many times that good people also go to hell. And good people go to hell because morality does not save us. We have to look beyond that as well and look to Jesus Christ, as I've said. So what is Christian hope? You know, we've talked about how, sort of in a general sense, how everybody has hope and it's something common to all of humanity. We've talked about how hope is something that is future, and it's something that is desirable, and it's something that is reasonable, so something that can be worked towards. So we've honed that. We're sharpening the arrow, so to speak. Let's talk then about some of what Christian hope is, or get more closely to that. First off, Christian hope is more than a feeling, although it may include feelings. We're reminded that Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Now, some of you may have had Mormons come to your door before. You know, knock on the door, "I'm Elder so-and-so, and this is Elder so-and-so," and they're both like 18 years old. And they want to talk to you about the Book of Mormon. And when it comes down to it, and you ask them, "Why are you convinced that this is true?" Their answer is that they have a warming. They feel that it's true. Well, that's not what Christian hope is. Christian hope does not feel that something is true, because our hearts are wicked and able to deceive us and unable to be fully understood. Now, it doesn't mean that things that you feel and think are always wrong, but it means that we need to do a serious check on our hearts and on our minds. So we don't rest in the feelings of our salvation. You know, assurance is something that looks beyond feelings, and it's looking to objective truth the way hope looks to objective truth. And we also don't rest in the feelings that others may have about your salvation. You know, if you have family or friends that maybe think that you are a little too zealous as a Christian, whenever you act in a way that they don't necessarily agree with, they'll say, "Well, you're probably not actually what you say you are," you know, and make statements like that. you don't rest in that. Our hope is not founded in that, because Christian hope is more than a feeling. The second thing that we want to look at in that is that Christian hope is centered in the Bible. Okay? So this, going back again to what we talked about this morning, with the Word being central to the kingdom. For Christian hope, the Word is central as well. Psalm 119:49 says, "Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope." So the words given to the servants of God are those things in which we find hope. It's that thing that is future and desire and reasonable that we can hold on to be fulfilled. Psalm 119:81 says, "My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word." Again, the Bible as the centerpiece of Christian hope. And then one from the New Testament, Romans 15:4. And this is really a fantastic text. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So we look to the Old Testament scriptures that the Apostle Paul is speaking of in Romans, and we see all those things written in former days are something that is for our instruction and for our encouragement and for our hope, something that we look ahead to, that we desire, that is reasonable to hold on to. Thirdly, Christian hope is something that rests in and clings to Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope." So Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the one that we look ahead to, that we trust will be seen, that we cling to, that we desire as the one in fullness that is promised to us. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is in you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So even the hope of glory, as we think about moving ahead into, into heaven, into the promised land, that hope of all of the glory of God, that weighty glory of God coming down upon us, Christ in us, is that hope. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ." So our whole foundation of our faith, that hope on which we build, is Jesus Christ. So Christian hope is resting and clinging to Jesus Christ. Christian hope is centered on the Bible. Christian hope is more than a feeling. Also, fourthly, I want you to see that Christian hope is explainable. We don't just say, "Well, it's a mystery, I don't know." You know, why do you have hope as a Christian? Why do you hope in your salvation? Why do you hope for sanctification? Why do you hope that someday you will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus? And you don't have to just say, "I don't know," or you don't have to say, "I have a feeling." You are able to give an answer for your hope. 1 Peter 3:15, starting at 14, "Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. In your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So your hope is not, pie in the sky by and by. It's not something that, you know, is a romantic ideal that will never come to pass. Your hope is something that is explainable. You're able to share that hope and it be seen as reasonable. That word defense that Peter uses is the root for which we get the word apologetics, giving a defense of the hope that is in us. So our hope is explainable. And then lastly, I want to mention that Christian hope has both inward and outward components. Inwardly, we could look at Romans 5:5. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. So hope is inward. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Those are part of the emotional life of the Christian, rejoicing and patience in tribulation and constant in prayer. So inward things. But we also see outward things. 1 John 2:6, by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So we don't just have this inward hope and say, well, it doesn't matter how I live outwardly, or it doesn't matter what I do as a Christian. The New Testament says it does matter what you do as a Christian, because your hope that is inward has outworking components as well, where you live as a believer. Psalm 116:12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows in the presence of his people. So we see service and prayer, as well as the keeping of vows, as something that is connected to the hope that is in us in Christ. So Christian hope, I wanted to share with you some of what it was not and some of what it is. And what it is it's more than a feeling, even though it may include feeling. It's centered in the Bible. It's resting and clinging in Christ. It is a hope that is explainable and shareable. And it has both inward and outward components. So our hope, we're looking ahead to Jesus Christ. We're patiently awaiting the fullness of redemption and the fullness of the kingdom and the fullness of the things to come. And that's something that is intended to be a great encouragement to you as a Christian, as you live your life with that hope that points you ahead to the one who still is to come, Jesus Christ.